This is a special episode of the Cross Conference Cast. I'm Joan Stewart. Our guest for this episode is Chicago Red Stars goalkeeper Kelsey Davis. Kelsey was drafted by the Chicago Red Stars in 2010 after she graduated from the University of Portland, where she majored in theology. Kelsey was also a goalkeeper for the U.S. Under-20 national team in 2004 and 2006. In the middle of the 2010 season, Kelsey tore her ACL and is currently undergoing rehab in Portland. Ruth and I talked to Kelsey about the Pilots, her recovery, her work with the Ronald McDonald House and Green Laces, her youth national team experience, and her thoughts about theology. On this podcast today, the 10th of November, we have with us a very special guest, very important person to Ruth and I, perhaps one of the greatest living Americans behind Beyonce, Kelsey Davis. Kelsey Davis is with us, and we're going to talk a little bit about what you're doing now, and I guess goalkeeper for the Red Stars. Mm-hmm. In recovery now from an ACL tear earlier this year, but your recovery is going on swimmingly. You're in Portland, so how many Portland games have you gotten to see so far, Kelsey?
I've seen a handful. I think probably, maybe like four, maybe games. So not too many, but I definitely, since I've been in town, I've caught all the home games possible. And I'm looking very much forward to the playoffs. So,
how are they looking? How do you feel?
Awesome. I think that it was interesting. I talked to different people throughout the season. The team wasn't necessarily blowing teams out of the water like they usually do and winning by margins of, three, four, five goals. But the whole time I was like, this is the best thing for them right now, that they're only winning games, 1-0, 2-0, 2-1. Because what it did and I think what it helps prepare the team for going into playoffs is that they have to win games. And, it kept them humble, and I think it kept them hungry also. And so now sitting going into playoffs, they got a one seed, and I think that they're in a great position. And then they also have a driving force behind them, that they've had a season-long, experience of figuring out ways to win games. And I think that that's the best possible situation that they could be in right now.
Right on. That's what I like to hear. So you did work with the Ronald McDonald House in Portland while you're with the Pilots. And can you talk a little bit about that?
We've had a relationship with the Ronald McDonald House for, I think now, maybe, nine approaching 10 years. And it was something that was just part of the tradition of our program, that we would go and serve meals at the house. One night we were there, and I just kind of had a little inspiration to take the relationship a step further, and look into buying a room at the house, to give, families not only a meal, but an actual physical place to stay and to be comforted by. And through the process of a lot of planning and fundraising and marketing and all those sorts of things, our program was able to purchase a room at the Ronald McDonald House. So it was a really good and fun experience. Something that was really cool too is that the Chicago Red Stars actually partnered with the Ronald McDonald House last year. And so coming out of college, I got to kind of continue that experience and grow as a professional, but then also grow with my relationship with the Ronald McDonald House as well. So it was pretty cool.
So that was a coincidence? It wasn't that, like, they saw that Kelsey Davis had moved to Chicago? It's like, that's it. This is our chance.
I would love if that were the case, but no, I think that it actually just ended up being a coincidence. When I spoke to Marsha McDermott, who is our GM, and you know, winter last year when they first drafted me, she said, hey, this is what we're looking to do, and it looks like you kind of have a resume around this, and seems like it fits perfectly. And I was like, yeah. So they helped to promote and support the house that's being built in Chicago that's the world's largest Ronald McDonald House, which is really, really cool. And it is huge. So.
Yeah, I saw pictures of it. They were baking cookies.
Yeah.
Now you're doing work with Natalie Spilger's Green Laces. Are you working with them, or is that like a volunteer thing, or?
Yes, to both. No, I'm actually considered an intern with Nat. But you know, our personnel, our staff is pretty small, so it definitely feels like, you know, a full-time job, but it is absolutely wonderful, and it's great to be able to work alongside, you know, a cause that I believe in, and also a cause that, in the movement that was started by one of my teammates, and so Nat and I work really closely. I'm helping to run the nonprofit side of her business, and my official title is the education coordinator, but the stuff that we're trying to do and launch for 2011 is looking to be pretty cool, and I'm excited, really excited about it.
Yeah, that's really great. Is like environmental sort of things something you were passionate about before, or was it something that just kind of came to your attention when you played for the Red Stars?
Definitely always been passionate about the environment and just, you know, acting as a good steward and wanting to take care of the earth and take care of people and do my part. But I think bringing the three components together in terms of, you know, athletics and then a green athlete and then bringing education into the mix was something definitely that, you know, that inspired or kind of dug out of me. Cause those were things that already existed, but I never really thought that they would mesh together, I guess.
Yeah, that's cool. Like, very fortuitous, in a way.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, Nat and I, we joke around that we work really well together just because we're very different and our skill sets are very different. And so we kind of balance each other out. And I have just learned so much from her. And I think that she is an inspiring woman and a great role model. I love her to death. So.
Skill sets are different. How? Like, what do you think that you're bringing in versus what she brings?
Well, she can honestly sell me a brown paper bag. Like, she's just very, you know, she's very articulate. She's very smart. Understands how a business works. Understands how to run a business also. I think from my side of things, I'm a little bit better, you know, I am outgoing and all of those things, but I'm better at the behind the scenes sort of things and with the educational component and trying to launch our education program in K-8 schools and also with universities. I was an education major, and so I just understand how the system works and just the vernacular of the educational system and just how it all kind of comes together and what teachers are looking for, you know, what the struggles are in terms of, you know, elementary schools and funding and all of those sorts of things. So just a different knowledge base.
Yeah. So you were an education major. I thought you were a theology major at Portland.
Yes. Yes, I am a theology major. I was an educational major. So I originally wanted to teach English in secondary schools. So I was doing that for like 2 years, and then I switched to theology and minored in education.
Okay. So, you know, you also made a different move in your college career from UCLA to Portland. And you've probably talked about this a lot, like with every single interview, but, I mean, as a Portland fan, I feel like it was sort of like Paul's road to Damascus, where at some point you saw some sort of light and that was the transition. But, what were your motivations for making that move? And then how did you adjust?
Yeah. You know, my motivations were definitely multifaceted. I I'd grown up in Southern California my whole life, and so there was an element of, you know, my personal life that I just kind of needed to explore a new city and a new culture and a new place. And so I had that itch going. Soccer-wise, you know, at the time, Val Henderson, who now plays for Philadelphia, was at the school a year ahead of me, and it just didn't really make too much sense for us both to be at the same school trying to develop collegiately with both the hopes of going, you know, pro. And so I think from a soccer athletic standpoint, I was looking for a different school. Not that UCLA, there's anything wrong with it. It's just for my own development that I needed to be in a situation where I was going to get significant playing time. And, you know, academically, too, I was a little bit uncertain of what I wanted to do, but I knew that I didn't really learn the best in a 300-person, you know, classroom or in a big-sized class. And so I was looking for a smaller school as well. And so obviously Portland fit all three of those needs. And the doors just kept swinging wide open. And after a couple conversations with Garrett, it just seemed like the right place for me to be. And I took a visit to Portland, and I just absolutely fell in love with the city. And it was an easy decision from there on out.
Cool. It wasn't your 3U20 teammates who strong-armed you into it, like Lopez
they definitely, yeah. I mean, they definitely factored into it. I adore, you know, all three of them, and I, you know, Megan and Wazzy and Steph, and, you know, they're some of my closest friends, and it's like, I love them as people and as soccer players, and it's like, the thought went through my head, if they're all coming from the same school, there's got to be something special about this place. So I checked it out, and sure enough, there's a few things.
Yeah. We talked to Rachel Rapino, and she's really big on the love. And Ruth is sort of amused by that. But, yeah, it seemed to be a lot of love coming from Portland.
Oh, yes.
Let's see. You played on two U-20s. Well, one of them was U-19 in 2004 and yep. 2006. And with pretty different results for both of them, and they were pretty different teams. What do you think were the differences there from your perspective? If you can remember back that far, it was really
a long time ago. I think definitely on the first squad, just an entirely different experience because I was so young. I was like 16 or 17 years old playing with a bunch of, you know, 19 and 20-year-old kids. And so I was definitely the baby on the team and just kind of deer in the headlights the whole time. And I don't think I really truly knew how to appreciate the experience when I was going through it because everything was just, like, so fabulous, you know. And I think the second time around, we were the best team in the world. Definitely at the tournament, we just hit some serious, unfortunate events and some unluck, you know? And so I think the difference was that on the second squad that there wasn't as big of a disparity between the ages. You know, we had a couple people who were, you know, like a year younger maybe, but we were all peers. We were all on the same page, and it really felt like a family, and we just spent so much time together, and every single trip that we went on was an adventure. You know, it was absolutely soccer-oriented, but we went out and did fun things, too, and really experienced, you know, the country that we're in, the culture that we're in. We always try to find a way to go and do some community service or something along those lines, too. And so the experience just as a whole and going through it a second time was just a lot richer of an experience, I think. Felt a lot more comfortable, I think, in my own skin, too, and being a little bit older. But it was, I mean, both had their pros and cons. But that second U-20 team is just forever in my heart. I'm still close friends with, you know, a number of those girls that were on that team, and, you know, even Tim Schultz, who is the head coach, he and I, you know, touch base every so often, and you know, it was really, really special. It was a really special team.
Yeah, for sure. Tiff Weimer described it as the dream team. Ruth, you have special vested interest. 2006 was her favorite U20 team. I like the 2004 U19 team, but they were pretty special. Ruth, did you have any questions about that?
Well, the 2006 team was my first time following the U19s or U20s, and I don't know, just like, so for me, that team really sticks in my heart too. And it's really great to see so many players from that team really making an impact right now in WPS. Like, we've looked at the numbers, and it's pretty astounding how well you guys have done. Not that you guys weren't already really great, but like, to see you continue with that.
Yeah, and just to interject, I mean, you look at the roster of that U20 team, and it's like, I feel like almost half of the team is on the women's national team or making an impact in WPS, and that's pretty phenomenal. And really, though, I seriously credit so much of that to Tim, because he just developed us and just taught us the game and taught us really how to love the game also. And I think that, you know, there's a lot of really awesome coaches. You know, Mark Kerkorian, who coached the first World Championship team that I was on, and you know, he's a phenomenal coach as well. And you know, Tony and Chico also. And you know, but Tim, I mean, I played for Tim for a while, and something that he brings is just a passion and a love for the game that is just never ending. And it's like, even in the hard moments where you struggle and you wonder why you're continuing to do what you do, it's like, Tim kind of helps you realize why, you know, and that's what's awesome.
That's really cool. I have to admit, I didn't know too much about Tim Schultz before. And I mean, because, you know, Mark Kerkorian, well, he's been making waves in the college scene. Well,
yeah,
lately.
I read about that.
Did you have any opinions about that?
As politically correct as I can be, yes. I respect Mark so much, and I think that he has an absolute, you know, brilliant mind for the game. And I think that, you know, he is the head coach, and he's in charge of his team. He knows his team best, and I seriously doubt that he would make any decision that was going to be detrimental to his team, because he wants success for his players and for his program. And so if he makes a decision that other people don't agree with, I think that that's kind of Florida State's business, you know, and I don't think that we have a place to really to say, you know, left or right from it. But like I said, I respect him, and I trust the decisions that he makes, and I support him.
Yeah, we discussed that on the last episode, Ruth and I, and we definitely agree with you that that kind of baloney business of punishing him. Getting back to the theology major, it's kind of interesting because you see a lot of professional women's soccer players, they're going to be communications or sometimes education, but your major sticks out, and I'm kind of interested in what area of theology really called to you while you were at Portland.
Well, I didn't specifically specialize in any one area of theology, but I would say, you know, matters of spirituality, if not more specifically Christian spirituality. I went to a Catholic school, so naturally it's going to come out of that first. But I don't know. I think that, you know, people give me a hard time that, you know, it's like, unless I'm going to be a pastor or go into the convent, it's like, what do I really have a theology degree for? And but that's a field of study that is extremely, extremely close to me, and that just absolute absolutely feeds my life and just perpetuates me, and really, really resonates into everything that I'm doing. And so I loved it. And, you know, I got asked to write a couple, you know, bigger papers, longer papers, and I would overwrite all the time and spend way too much time researching and studying the library. And so, you know, since that was the case, I was like, okay, I think I'm in the right field, because I absolutely love writing 20-page papers, and that's not normal, you know.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear you go to the library. I'm a librarian.
Oh, yeah.
So it's good. Oh, it's good.
Very nice.
Thumbs up, Kelsey. So many good areas to Kelsey Davis, right, Ruth?
Oh yeah. Actually, I have a question. You said that you went to a Catholic school. Were you raised Catholic, or you just went to a Catholic school?
No. Well, University of Portland is it's a Catholic school. It's Holy Cross, so it's actually a sister school of Notre Dame. You know, we share people, personnel, priests, sisters, everyone, you know, down the ropes. And I wasn't raised Christian or Catholic. I became a Christian, or started at least my journey, like, with Christ in my junior year of high school. And things just, you know, progressed from there. And I've been living the life ever since.
That's really interesting, because I was about to ask you if you were raised in the church, and then did you have your wild streak, and what, you know, how many cars did you crash, you know, how many lock-ins did you ruin?
I wasn't actually. I came to it later through a process of different friendships and influences. You know, that U20 team was huge for that. There are a lot of Christians on that team, and we just shared life. We shared faith and life and family. And like I said, we spent so much time together that it kind of felt like I was truly living in a community of people. And not that we all agreed all the time or that we all were Christians or anything like that, but I definitely felt like I saw the face of Christ in a very real way for the first time on that team. And I think that that's also why it was such a special experience for me.
That's really cool. Now, I think there was an article from a University of Portland professor, Andrew Guest,
yep,
where you talked about perhaps going on to get a higher degree, master's or,
yep,
or a PhD. Are you still thinking about that?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I have recently kind of figured out that I'd love to do, you know, counseling at some level, potentially, like, get my doctorate in psychology and, you know, become a psychologist, or go, like, the social work route and do counseling through that way. But, you know, ideally I would love to work in a university setting and be able to counsel people, you know, on various issues, but then also, you know, be a spiritual director, if that's kind of allotted to me also. And so have somewhat of a counseling, but also like a faith component to things too. And, that sounds really cool to me. I'd love to go on and coach as well. So we'll see, you know, first things first are that I want to make out to, have a solid professional career, you know, before I start school, because that's, the overlap is really hard, and that's kind of what Dr. Guest was getting at, is that, you know, people either go one way or the other, and to do both is almost unheard of. So we'll see. You know, I have a lot of time to get my master's or my PhD, and for right now, I'm enjoying playing soccer and doing what I do.
Yeah, it's really exciting. We don't want you to quit either. We want you to keep going.
It's no rush, really.
Yeah, no rush. Take as long as you'd like.
Yeah.
No. I think I was going to ask a question about Thomas Merton, but I don't remember what it was now. Because you seem to be a big fan of his, and I.
Yeah.
I remember reading The Seven Story Mountain and being quite like, almost like very strange genetically Protestant.
Right.
it was a little off-putting, but I did like he's very, very different from other writers and other mm-hmm. religious thinkers. And do you have anything to say about him?
Yeah, I think, you know, people talk to me kind of about him a lot because it's pretty clear that I do look up to him, or I do read him, and I think, you know, people have asked me in the past too, what about him? You know, like, why is he so special to me? And I think one of the main characteristics of Thomas Merton is just his openness to dialogue and his advocation for peace, and that and those two things really resonate with me, and I think that, you know, the spectrum of faith systems, or the spectrum of belief or opinions or whatever it may be, that we really get into, you know, war with ourselves and war with each other when we stop having dialogue and stop having conversation. And I think that he was a huge advocate for that, and I really believe in that as well. And, you know, I think that welcoming difference or welcoming variation is really important, and to have open arms with those things, and you know, be it differences on political issues, or, you know, you like blue and I like green, you know, kind of thing. It's like, okay, well, that's great. Let's recognize those differences and let's talk about why. And really hear the heart of the human instead of just shutting doors. And that's what I think I've learned from him. And, you know, and with that, you know, loving people, loving God, you know, loving ourselves as well in that. And I think that's huge.
Yeah, it's very refreshing to hear you say that because a lot of today conversation, even within like the soccer community, it's just like people are just, they're not listening. They're just waiting for you to finish talking so they can talk.
Yep.
It's like, they're just composing, you know, their rebuttal in their heads that it's really wonderful to hear you say that. And frankly, this podcast could be just entirely you discussing religious writers. So did you have, or religious thinkers. So did you have any other heroes you want to toss out? Any Wendell Berrys or?
I love Wendell Berry.
Dorothy Days.
Anne Lamott is one of my favorites.
Oh, yeah.
She is just a crazy woman. Who else? Henry Nouwen is also my favorite. Brennan Manning. I just am starting to read Jay Baker. He has a really cool thing going on too. But I tend to lean towards kind of the marginalized people, I guess, like the more like crazy liberal hippie sort of thinkers. But you know, I like all the classic stuff too. You know, I read a lot of, you know, in school I read everything, but it's like, you know, C.S. Lewis and St. Augustine and, you know, Julian of Norwich, like all of those kind of, you know, church fathers also. So, yeah, just a spectrum of things, but I think what's on my shelf pretty consistently tend to be the Brandon Mannings and the Anne Lamotts and the Henry Nouwens and, you know, those kind of guys, so.
Oh yeah, definitely. This is a personal question for me. Have you ever read anything by David Dark?
I have not.
Oh, okay. You got to check him out, David Dark. He's amazing.
Okay.
He's like a sort of a cultural critic. Mm-hmm. With that sort of weird stuff. He's awesome. anyway, back to This Week in Religious Thinkers, with Kelsey Davis. Ruth, did you have any more, like, should we talk about soccer?
Yeah, we should talk about soccer.
Oh, that's right. Did you get to see any of the CONCACAF qualifying games?
I caught some of it. I didn't get to watch as much as I had hoped for, just because of the timing of the games. I was, you know, at rehab or doing something that I needed to be doing. But I was following, of course, you know, like I said, some of my closest friends are obviously on the team. Obviously, I hope to make it into the team eventually. And I have full confidence that they will beat Italy twice and make it to the World Cup, you know, bottom line. So I think that, you know, soccer is a strange game. And, you know, they were killing teams, and they happened to lose a game that really counted, you know. And I think that they're a strong squad, you know, mentally and emotionally and physically, and, you know, they're ready and they're fit to bounce back. And then I think that they will do, they'll be just fine.
Cool.
Yeah.
What about Canada? You've got former teammates on Canada.
Yeah, Sophie. She got back last night, so I'm hoping to see her in the next couple of days here. She and I are really good friends, and I haven't seen her since January, so looking forward to giving her a big hug. And, you know, I already told her congratulations and all that good stuff, but she sounds like she's doing awesome, and I'm really proud of her.
Yes, she is. She's great. Yeah, thank you so much, Kelsey, for talking to us and being, you're super generous with your time.
Yeah, of course.
And we'll definitely have this. Do you have any messages to send out to the soccer world? Or
I think a message to the soccer world would just be to really, you know, enjoy the experience of everything that's going on, like wins, losses, being cut from a team, making a team, to really just take every experience and just make it a part of you. I think that especially, you know, the younger kids, and even we see it in the pros, we just get so caught up in trying to climb the ladder as fast as possible and, you know, reach our dreams and reach our goals, which is awesome. But I think that the experience of the process is what's the most valuable thing, you know, and really just enjoying it. That's it.
Very wise words from Kelsey Davis. Well, thank you so much. Again, thank you so much for talking to us. And I hope your recovery goes well. Not, you know, frighteningly well, and then we'll be frightened. But hopefully we'll see you on the field again for Chicago. Good luck.
Well, thank you very much. Talk to you guys soon.
Ruth, Kelsey Davis, high five.
High five.
Through the internet.
Yeah, man.
That was our high five through the internet.
We did our secret handshake, too, but you guys can't see that.
No, secret. That might have been my favorite interview. And we've had a lot of great interviews.
We have. I think, you know, that definitely ranks up there with the best. Oh, that was great. That was excellent. Like, I love talking to people that are willing to talk to us about anything.
But yeah, she's great. And it's, and so like she said, Natalie Spilger had that skill set of being eloquent. And, but Kelsey Davis says that too. Boy, it's like, she was very clear and very enthusiastic and just like a breath of fresh air, you know? Like, to see someone who's really smart in, like, all, like, different sort of ways, you know, really passionate about her athletic side, and then academically and spiritually, I guess. That's a personal thing.
Yeah. I mean, she was very composed and very willing to share and very, very, just very smooth about all of it. Yeah, it was excellent talking to Kelsey. We should have her back sometime.
Thanks again to Kelsey Davis for taking the time to speak with us. You can find her on Twitter at DavisKelsey. Thank you for listening. You can listen to heaps more interviews and episodes and check out our blog at crossconference.com. If you get a chance, please rate our show in iTunes. It's a nice way to help new listeners find us.